Welcome to this Thursday evening meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. This evening's message is by Paul Abel.
So we've been moving ahead with the Lord tonight. Totally unexpectedly for me, he took us to that bit about shouting. I wasn't like, oh, that's what we'll do tonight. I just did a quick search for shout, saw what came out, and then just read it to you. That's where that came from. But it was because God was about breaking. A breaker anointing comes from a bold people. And you have to be bold when you're shouting. You can't be timid, really. That's why some people find it more difficult than others. But rest assured, often those that find it easy to shout are the ones that find it much harder just to sit and listen. So we've all got our strengths. My natural is to sit quiet and listen. But what was awesome was that the house was obedient. All around this room, people were shouting. Some comfortable with it, some uncomfortable with it. But we were doing it together. The body. And this is what changes nations. When people will be obedient to the Lord, whether they feel like it or not. There's been too much wishy-washy stuff going on in the church where it panders to people's feelings. The Lord calls the nations to repentance. We can't get away from it. But we need them also to see that he is amazing, loving, glorious, gracious Father. And the reason he calls people to repentance is not because he's some diabolical tyrant, but because he is jealous, is the word the Bible uses, for a personal and intimate relationship with those people. And he loves them. The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That whoever would believe in him, it's for everyone. This passage in Joel that the Wednesday prayer team were looking at, it comes where you came in when you sent me the scripture from, Chris. It comes just after a period of repentance, because the nation had been in a mess and they'd been invaded. I mean, it's not a great place to live at that time. And we can look at these scriptures and we can look at them in the context of what happened, and that's absolutely true. I expect most of Joel was speaking to his country people at that time, but he was also a prophet. And so he speaks into every generation. And it's one of the marvels of Scripture that it's 100% right for the people that it was spoken to at the time it was spoken. And yet it speaks to many, many generations. Often when we look at the Old Testament, we have to look at what was the principles, what's the spiritual principles of what's going on. Because our enemy is not of this world, as it says in the New Testament. So when we read of enemies, we know that that therefore applies to the enemies that are not of this world. Because any supposed enemies of this world are inspired by them anyway. But anyway, Joel is calling these people to repentance. And it's interesting, again, it sort of caught me by surprise, but there was that little bit in the middle of the shouting where the Lord said there needs to be some repentance. And I think one of the things we will see as a people, more and more and more, is just a continuous desire to be right with God. You know, we won't walk around feeling like we're sinners. That's not God. He wants us to walk around feeling like we're saints. But we will be more aware of sin, and we will tolerate in our own lives, not in other people's lives, we will tolerate sin less and less. Because there, God is stirring people to live as a righteous and holy people. And one of the great adventures that we're on is discovering how to do that in the 21st century. But actually, it's not much different to the first. We say, well, our culture around us is such a non-Christian culture. Well, it pretty much was in the first century too. In fact, it was probably worse. I think people, generally speaking, despite the horrors of the world, are nicer to one another now than they were then. People live longer because less people kill one another in most countries. But anyway, in this passage of Joel, Joel's called the people to repent. And this passage, it's got different titles in different editions, because the titles are never, the titles in bold, they're not the original scriptures. They're things that people have put in to make it easier to read. That's why they can be completely different. Sometimes people don't realize that. They say, well, the Bible contradicts one another. And they're looking at the titles. Well, of course they do. They've been put in by different people. And here in the NIV, it's called The Lord's Answer. I think the North American one, yeah, Deliverance Promised. That was a much better title. And what was it when you gave it to me? The Land Refreshed, yeah. Here's that word, jealous. Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. The Lord will reply to them. Now, we're going to read this because we're going to take hold of the promises here in this scripture. You say, well, how can we do that? Because when you're a Christian, it explains in the New Testament that we are grafted in, like you would graft a branch of a tree into a different tree. So if you're making a fantastic apple tree, you graft new apple branches into the much more healthier stump so that you can get the really good tasting apples without the trunk dying off on you. Okay? Apple trees are funny like that. But it's a similar picture that we're being grafted into the tree of Israel. Okay? We're grafted in, and therefore everything that was true of Israel becomes a promise to us. So that when God spoke to Abraham and said things to Abraham that were promises, we can take hold of those promises. Say they're for us, or Moses, or whoever. So when the Lord makes promises through Joel, we can say, thank you, Lord. Those promises are also to us in our generation. The prerequisite obviously being a repentant people. And I believe that's what God is doing in his church. Not just this church, but the church. And the Lord will reply to them, says John. I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil. Enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. They're an object of scorn because they didn't have enough. They're in need. And so, when we take these scriptures before we finish tonight, this is how you can use scripture to pray. So you look at what it says here. Grain, new wine, and oil. And you can absolutely take that for exactly what it says. Food, drink, provision. All right, that's absolutely what you can take it for. There's nothing wrong with doing that. In fact, it's a very good thing to do. Sometimes we refer it to pulling on the promises of heaven, pulling them down to earth. If that sounds too spiritual for you, I don't mean that sarcastically. I just mean like that, saying I can't get hold of it. It's from the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. What's the will of God? What heaven is like is his will for his people here on the earth. It's his rule. It's his reign. This is his rule and his reign. So we can quite justifiably pray for one another to have all that we need to eat, all that we need to drink. Hey, new wine. And the oil, which is God's provision. All right? Oil was a valuable commodity in its own right. It was used very practically for cooking, for lighting. It's a very basic commodity, but it represents God's provision in this paragraph. So when you're using this to pray from, you can pray, Father, I thank you for the food. I thank you that each white member of our church is going to have, because it comes in our culture down to money usually, the money to buy the food to put on their table. This Joel wasn't speaking to such a money-orientated culture. It's just what we live in our century. So often it comes back to money much more. So you're praying for provision, for the food, for them to have the drink that they need, and for them to have all the other forms of provision that they need to live a life before God. That doesn't mean that God calls you just to a cruise ship and a life of comfort. And that's where often the church has gone wrong, especially when we're bringing up the next generation. Sometimes we've not communicated that there is also cost. This is following a Lord. This is following God. And there's something more important than just our lives. You say, more important than my life? You know, my life's kind of important. I don't know about you. I value it. But there's something more. And that something more is now what we've been called to live for. It changes your outlook on everything. You want to follow Jesus. You want to be like Jesus. You want to live out your life in a way that's going to bring everlasting fruit. Who wants to slave for all their lives and the fruit that you create lasts but a few years even? But yet when you're in God and when you're doing things that you do in Him can last for generations. People might not even know it's your fruit. Maybe that doesn't sound so good, but you know. But your fruit can last through generations. Who knows? You're very likely to be sitting on that chair tonight because somebody in your descendants at some point prayed for the people that were to follow them. It's a weird feeling, isn't it? I don't know when it was. Maybe it was in the time of Jesus. 2,000 years ago. Because there must have been people around that your direct ascendants, descendants, I couldn't remember which way around it is. Your relatives were alive when Jesus was alive. Isn't that cool? Your great, 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 grandfather or whatever it is, and your mother, grandmother, they were alive at that time. I don't say they were necessarily in Israel, but they might have been. And they got saved and they began to pray for the generations that were going to follow. And maybe that's just why you happen to be sitting here tonight. You just don't know. Maybe in heaven we will. I don't know. It'd be fun to find out. God will show us. Look, this is what happened. And I bet half the time, maybe bigger, maybe more than that, it'll be the small insignificant things we did that were just of God, that have this fruit through generations onwards, or maybe not through generations but out that way, but we just didn't see it. And we thought it was the big thing we did. But also, when you look at the scripture and you're praying scripture, you've got to remember that we live post-cross. We live in a time when the Holy Spirit has been given. We live in a new age, if you like, of the Spirit. In fact, that's what Joel goes on to prophesy just after this, in this passage. If you read on, you'll find it's the bit that Peter used at the day of Pentecost. But here, the grain, the new wine and the oil. Some of you that know your scriptures and the way the Bible works already know what this means spiritually. Others maybe not. Grain is the seed. The seed is the word of God. So in this promise, you've got the promise that God will give you the word that you need. When you're facing decisions of life-changing decisions or new jobs or moving house or whatever it is, it's always right to ask God for the grain, the word. You've got this, obviously. This is a whole bag of bags and bags of grain. But sometimes God can just give you a very specific scripture that you know is a promise for you in that situation. They're good things to have. They help you to confirm what God is saying. In fact, probably if you haven't got a scripture like that in something that you believe God is saying, it's a good chance you're mistaken. Because God always confirms things by His Word and by His Spirit. And if we've only got one of them, we're either waiting for the other or we're wrong. So if it's by His Spirit, that's the wine. Jesus talked of the new wine. The new wine represents the flow of the Holy Spirit. And the oil. What was oil used for in the Old Testament? It was used for anointing, the setting God's people apart to walk with Him. So we can pray for having the right word for the right situations. We can use the word to pray with. We can pray to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, as the New Testament tells us, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can say, thank you, Jesus, for continually filling me or continually filling us with the Holy Spirit. You can't ever run out of that prayer. You can pray it again and again and again. Sometimes in a prayer meeting, somebody's already prayed what you wanted to pray. It doesn't matter. Pray it again. It's called agreement. When you agree on things together, it shall happen, it says. I am sending you grain, new wine and oil. I am sending you the word. I am sending you the spirit. I am sending you the anointing you need to live that out. Enough to satisfy you fully. There should never be a scarcity of anointing or a scarcity of the Holy Spirit or a scarcity of the word. Because God sends it all the time to satisfy fully. Sometimes people just forget to look in the right place. It's always there. God always provides. But similarly, we pray these things and we pour them down. Like God is jealous of us in the sense of he wants more of us. We can be jealous of the things God gives and of God himself. It's an unusual way to use the word jealous, but it's okay when you're using it about God. It's like a furious passion to be with God or for God to be with us. I will drive the northern army from you. So it's an army. Spiritually, it means the forces of the devil, pushing it into parched and barren land, with its front columns going into the eastern sea and those in the rear into the western sea, and its stench will go up and its smell will rise. Hallelujah. So if the enemy's coming against you, it's going to be one big smell, one huge stench. You say, you can address the enemy. I wouldn't do it that much if I were you. You don't need to. Just focus on Jesus. But every now and again, you can just say, you're going in the Eastern Sea and you're going in the Western Sea because I'm going straight for Jesus and you're not getting in my way. Surely he has done great things. Be not afraid. Now, this is interesting because this is a promise to God's people. What could this mean for us? Be not afraid, O land. Now later on, it's be glad, O people of Zion. In verse 23, this is verse 21. Be not afraid, O land, be glad and rejoice. We've been doing a bit of that. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the wine yield their riches. The wild animals... This is not said in a derogatory way, it's just a pictorial language. The wild animals are those that don't yet know the Lord. They're wild in the sense that they're not in the spirit. They're just wild, they're doing their own thing. So they're wild, and some wild animals are dangerous, and some are just cute. But they're still wild. But the Lord is addressing, because as God's people seek him, and seek to live with him, and as God's people are pulling down the grain and taking hold of the new wine and releasing the anointing oil, as God's people are doing this, the land and the animals start to get blessed as well. Because God isn't about having isolated little pockets, remember? He loves the world. So the church is called to be full of grain, to be full of new wine, to be full of oil, because it's supposed to spill out on all those around us. We're not supposed to batten down the hatches. And we have a tremendous freedom to do so in this country. Sometimes people complain. I think ISIS has shown us one thing. We don't know what persecution is. Maybe we'll be grateful that all we get is that you can't wear a cross to work. Yeah? Let's be thankful for what we do have and fight for more. But also, let's be wise and make the most of every opportunity. And we have amazing opportunities in this nation. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree, the vine yield their riches. The fruit is the people getting saved. Churches are not supposed to be exclusive clubs. All churches are mission stations. There's a popular thing of being a missional church, but all churches to be missional. It's at the fundamental of what we are. Go, therefore, into all the nations and make disciples. It's what we're about. Let's go. Some of us have gone, and that's why you're here. You may go again somewhere else, but let's just do what God says. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. In the Hebrew there's a whole play going on in the words, because the words being used for rains is also very, very similar in the way you say it to the word for teacher, which obviously you, rain and teacher, you just don't get that in English. And so the Lord has been speaking of the land, so he continues to speak of the rains coming upon the land and refreshing the rain. But there's this, with the play on the words in Hebrew, it's a rain of knowledge. It's a rain of knowledge of God. Knowledge of God isn't theology in that sense. Knowledge of God is knowing God. It's an intimacy with him. And so when it talks about the latter rains and the former rains, and you wonder what it means, what it means is a move of the Spirit that brings us into intimacy with God, because we will know. You can't get that just straight from rain and teacher, because it doesn't work in English. But in Hebrew, that's where it comes from. If you've ever wondered how they get the Holy Spirit out of the rain, that's where the Holy Spirit kind of comes from. It's that intimate relationship of knowing God. He sends you abundant showers, the autumn and spring rains, which of course are a feature of Israel as well, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. Here are the same promises again. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locusts and the other locusts and the locust swarm, by my great army that I sent you. The whole nation has been stripped bare by locusts. In a sense, we have that too. You know, we're not supposed to be a church of merely, I don't know what we are these days. Well, there's been, 126 people on last Sunday, but how many people are actually part of us, I don't know. But that's still small compared to what God wants to do. Because we're the locusts have eaten away. The churches are supposed to be full of people living out the life of God. Not because there should be big organisations, but because there's just be an awful lot of Christians. Buildings like this are much too small, but they're right for now. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And the next bit, which we're not going to read, is, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people, which is the bit that Paul quotes. Peter quotes. Because he's doing exactly what I'm doing tonight. He's taking a promise from the old and releasing it into the new spiritual generation. And of course they were seeing also a fulfillment of that word that Joel never imagined, really. I don't think. Who knows? We don't know him. We'll ask him one day, maybe. But he didn't know that. And so Peter's actually giving a fulfillment of that scripture in a way Joel never imagined, I don't think. But that scripture then carries on into every generation as we call down the Spirit of God to fill our sons and to fill our daughters and to see our sons and daughters prophesy and dream dreams and have great visions for God. Never lose sight of the next. We're always passing on. It's not just about physical generations either, it's spiritual generations. The 30-year-olds can be releasing things of the Spirit into the 50-year-olds that have just got saved. All right, because they're the next generation in a way, spiritually. So it's not just, oh, the older to the younger, the older to the younger. No, not at all. The 10-year-olds who've been moving in God for 5 years can sow the truth of God into someone who's just got saved who's 45. Right, so we've got about a quarter of an hour left. Would you like to have a rest? You can stop then if you like. And if we just don't move yet, just listen for a second. But if we split up into just groups of about three, you don't want too many or you won't get a chance to pray. And use this whole passage here from Joel chapter 2. If you're not sure where it is and you haven't looked it up yet, the best thing is to use the contents page at the beginning, because it's a very short little Old Testament book. Can be quite hard to find if you're not used to a Bible. Look it up, chapter 2, and I read from verse 18 through to verse 27. And then in the group, pray some of those scriptures in the way I was trying to explain. And don't be worried about repeating what somebody else has repeated. As I said, all that's showing is that there's agreement in this group. And where two or three agree together, there it will be done for them. So actually it's an exciting thing to pray the same thing. It's not a repeat, it's a good thing. Okay, and we're just going to, that's what we're going to do for the last, we're going to go by that clock, not that one, because that one's faster. I think that one's right, but we're still going to go by that one. We've got about 12 minutes or so, but obviously take this passage away. I know a lot of you do, it's really encouraging because you tell me what you're getting out of them. Take this passage away and really pray it over us as a congregation, over us as a church. The three key things I think in here to be praying for tonight, but you might grab other things from this passage, are that grain, new wine, and anointing oil. Increase in all of those, spiritually and physically. Okay? We need the physical provision, but we also need the anointing oil. So focus on whatever you want to. But yes, just two or threes. If you haven't got a Bible with you, you're going to need it because you're going to need the passages so you can pray from them. But there are some on the shelves over there that you can grab. Okay. Other than that, you just have to peer over the shoulder of the person next to you. Or use your mobile phone. Okay, let's just do that and I'll call us all back to the end just to bring the meeting to a close. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.